Hello and welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. This is show number 83, and no Corey this week. He's up a mountain somewhere, not really sure where he is. Hiking, I think, somewhere. I don't know, do they have mountains in North Carolina? I'll ask our guest. Hello, Rennie. Rennie Vonk. We're pleased to be joined by Rennie. Do they have mountains in North Carolina, Rennie? Do you know?
Don't know. No. Never been there.
They don't have many mountains in the Netherlands either, do they?
Where you live? No. Only in the southeast, a little one. Not very high.
Your landscape is very much like where I live, so it's very flat with lots of drainage ditches. We don't have many windmills, but we have lots of pumping stations, you know, for draining, keeping areas drained.
Okay, yeah.
And where I live in the East Anglian Fens, it was originally underwater in the, Roman times. And then since the Roman times, various people tried to drain the fens for farming, you see. And it was a Dutchman. It was a Dutchman who came and did it. A Dutch engineer called Vermuyden.
Who drained
the fens. And the locals who made their living from fishing and a little bit of farming when the water subsided, the locals they formed armed gangs and used to attack the Dutch engineers because they were seeing their way of life disrupted. Anyway, it's good that we've got harmonious relations with you guys now.
Yeah, okay.
even if we are leaving the European Union.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll still be able to. We'll still get European guests on, even when we've left. It'll be fine. So, Rene, when I knew you were coming on, I posted into the Facebook group. Just recently, actually, and said you were coming on. And did anybody have any questions for you? We had a couple, and one is going to serve as a general introduction. Now I can't find it. It was from Wendy, wasn't it, Wendy Chapman? I think while I'm looking for it, it started off by saying something like, "How did you get into pinhole photography?" Which is the perfect introductory question, as people who listen to the show will know. So, Rennie, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? And while I'm searching for Wendy's post, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into pinhole photography, where it came from, and just that, really. Do you want to do that for me?
Yeah, of course. I'm into photography for quite a while, but pinhole photography only a couple of years. I bought a book. It's called a Dutch Het Creatieve Fotografie book. If I'm right, there is it's a book from Kevin Meredith. I think in the English title is 52 Photographic Projects.
Oh yes, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
And I was reading the book, and then suddenly I saw a chapter of pinhole photography. And I looked at the pictures. They were from Darren Constantino, I think. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is something for me. This is what I want to try. What I want to do. So it started. It was 2011, I think. I bought a 35mm Holga. And that's how I started.
Was that the pinhole Holger?
Yes, yeah, pinhole. And only the last 3 years, I really get into 3-4 years in a pinhole photography.
So were you using film cameras before you discovered pinhole photography, or was it digital?
Both. Mm-hmm. Always had analog photo cameras, but I don't know how to say it. They are much too alike digital. Mm-hmm. The better cameras. I had a Nikon F100. For me, it was always almost the same as digital. and the pinhole for me is really different, really analog.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I think a lot of folks who got disillusioned with the perfectness of digital imagery, well, also the perfectness of high-end lens photography as well. There's something
yes, that's what
very
I mean.
Something very different about pinhole photography. So I found Wendy's post. It says, "I'd like to hear a bit about how René discovered pinhole." Well, we've kind of answered that. What drew him to making his own images? I would like to know what his favorite type of pinhole photography is and what he wants to do with pinhole in the future. Well, folks, you can see, René, where's the best place to view your work? Is it on your Instagram site? Is that the one that's mostly up to date?
Yeah, I think Instagram. Yeah.
So people who aren't following René, you can go onto Instagram and look for René, R-E-N-E, pinhole, or one word. And I know you have a little website as well, but I think Instagram is probably the place to go. So what do I see when I look down at your work, René? There's a lot of cityscapes, some landscapes, but you're very much drawn to the city. Is that fair? Are you photographing in your local environment mostly?
Mostly. What for me is the most interesting for pinhole photography are the photos with the clouds. And it's like they explode.
Corey calls those light speed clouds.
Yeah. And also, I don't know in English, is that backlit shots against the sun?
Yeah, like backlight.
Colorful lines in it.
I was, until I started, when I first started pointing a pinhole camera at the sun, which is a kind of counterintuitive thing to do, really, for most normal photography, I was amazed when I first saw how sunlight is captured with those lines.
I remember a photo, I'm now scrolling to Instagram, somebody comments with a title for this photo, and that it was God's Eye. The sun and then the beams.
So I see you're using a variety of different films as well. I like to see colour. We don't see as much colour. What's your experience with colour film? What are you finding? You're doing a lot of nighttime stuff with colour. What stocks are you using?
Normally I used Acros, Fuji Acros.
Oh.
But after
it's back now though.
Yeah. I couldn't buy them anymore, and so I went to the Fuji. I don't know. It's a positive idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In English is the same. The Provia film.
Provia, yeah.
Yeah. I love that the Provia colors.
Is that what most of these color pictures are on your Instagram with Provia?
Yeah. When I scroll down, there are a few Kodak, but you immediately see that the colors, especially the blue, is much different.
Mm. So there's not many interesting nighttime scenes where I live. I think you need. Are you close to a city or a big town where you live?
To the city, but I almost never take pictures in my own own town. I don't think that there's any picture of Breda center.
Okay. Is that the old story of it's too familiar, or
I think so. Yeah, I never thought of it as now for the first time. I even think about it.
And I see there's a picture. I love pictures with people in. These are quite tricky shots, aren't they? Some of these that you've made here. I'm looking at one inside a gallery, and it's fairly sort of orangey brown color.
I think that's in Poland.
That's Offo, isn't it? Yeah. So we were talking before we started the show that you exhibited in Offo, and sounds like you had a really good time. You want to tell a little bit about how you came to get involved in the Polish exhibition? Because I know Kai Lewis, who's been on the show, was there, and also
I met Justin.
I met them both
at Offo. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was on the. I think on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sent an email and we get contacted and printed 10 of my pinhole photos and sent them to Poland.
They like to have, do they like to consider a body of work or individual images?
What do you mean by... Well, were the images
that you sent, were they of a similar theme, or were they?
No, not really. No, just 10 black and white.
Okay.
You can see, and you scroll down from the, the gallery. On the row below, yeah, I'm standing by four. Of
oh,
the,
there you are.
Yeah. Four of the.
So yeah, folks on the Instagram, just not far from the top. Actually, you can see René with his thumb pointing upwards. René Vonk, square pinhole view on the world.
Yeah. It was in a library where I was with another photographer. We had some photos.
Because the pictures are spread in, around different locations, aren't they? Within is it more than one city?
Yeah, yeah. There are very much much locations. I bought the ticket for an airplane and when I booked the hotel, that was too bad because we already left on Saturday night. We were there only 3 days. It was much better if we had stayed 1 or 2 days longer.
Mm. To see more.
To see more. I didn't know there were so many different locations and, and different cities.
Yeah, so it's... I don't know how long you would need. How far apart are the cities where, you know, that take part in this exhibition?
Yeah, not very far. But when you, I think we landed on. I don't know the days are all the trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday. And Friday, we went to see some pictures. We first day we went to Auschwitz with a rental car from the airport.
Yeah.
And Friday was the exhibition, and Saturday we went back to the hotel at the airport to go Sunday morning on the plane home back home. And we needed just one more day.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Then you have more time to drive around, and it's not very far, but 2-3 locations on one day is,
And do you have to send them once they've when you're applying to submit work, René, are you initially sending them some examples, some digital files, and then if they like your work, you then send them the prints? Is that how it works?
I don't remember for this. I think it was. I think I. Maybe I can find it back. But I had. I thought 7 or 8 different countries last year. But I only went to Poland. But I sent photos to I don't know, Japan, Ukraine, Russia, Argentina. So I don't remember what was. In this situation, I sent a couple of digital images and then selected 10 10 pieces and printed at 30 by 30 centimeters and sent them to Offo.
Yeah. Are you making your own prints or are you having them done commercially?
Commercially, yeah. We have a small. Shop. It's the afdruk. It's the print in English. The only thing that man does is make this kind of prints, photo prints.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yeah. I had a few images in a small exhibition just recently, and I was going to print them in the darkroom, but because they started off life as Polaroid, you know, mm-hmm. small Polaroid pictures, I made high resolution scans and sent them to Harman, you know, Ilford Harman.
Okay.
They do, and I was very pleased, you know, with the results, and it wasn't all that expensive. So, I think if I was getting ready to do some exhibition again or send stuff off like you're doing, I think I'd probably go down the commercial route because it's just mm-hmm. less pressure, you know. But yeah, particularly with Polaroid pictures, because obviously I can't easily make prints of those.
Yeah, with the darkroom prints, the size is kind of
yeah, problem. It is. It starts getting difficult. Yeah. Anyway, going back to Wendy's question. So, yeah. So, what about where do you see things going in the future then with your pinhole photography? This is kind of the question we normally ask right at the end, but let's mm-hmm. ask it now.
Okay. Well, I really don't know. I think I'm hoping to spend more time with the paper negatives.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Well, that's a good segue. Paper negatives, of course. Well, I tell you why paper negatives? What attracts you to paper negatives?
Yeah, I really don't know. Is this sometimes I have to look for some words in English.
Yes, okay. You're doing really well, better than my Dutch.
Oh, we can change in Dutch maybe. Yeah. it's more simple for me. Yes.
And cheap.
Back to the base from the photography. Cheap. I don't think it's cheap. I don't know what the papers.
I said cheap, but then I thought actually is it? I'm not sure. It depends what film you use, I guess.
Normally, 120 film I use. The Fuji is about €10 mm-hmm. on film.
Mm.
I have bought two packages of Ilford paper. That is Pearl. Multigrade, but I don't know what I thought it's about €1 for one paper, I think. €25 for...
René, you can't put a cost on this passion of ours, can you? No, really? That's what I tell my wife anyway.
No, it's not a problem, but it's not that the one thing is cheaper than the other. I think they're both analog photography is... a little bit expensive, but it's mostly fun. That's the most important, I think.
Well, yeah, we'll carry on talking about paper negatives, but there's a wider topic there about analog photography being expensive, and of course it's a kind of pointless debate, really, I think, because you know what if you get into some kind of hobby and you become obsessed by it, like you are and I am with this, you know, it's you find a way, don't you? You know, there are lots of cheap ways of doing analog photography, and or you can spend loads of money, you know. And if you take up golf, you'll be spending a fortune on the golf course.
Yeah, or car races.
Yeah. But coming back to pinhole photography. Using paper negatives in pinhole cameras. There's certainly a different look, isn't there, with paper negatives? And have you played around with... You're just starting, and I'm only just starting as well, really. But I'm aware that you can manipulate the paper negative. You can draw with a pencil on the back to increase the density of certain areas and stuff like that. Have you played around, or you can make into negatives or positives and keep changing? You know, the image changes slightly every time you do another contact print.
Until now, I just did it
straight.
No, the rest of the way, just put the paper in the tin, the coffee tin mostly.
Yeah. Me too. I'm amazed at the results. I saw your post on how to make a pinhole, and
It's kind of anamorph, the result.
My one isn't, because I'm just using a vertical tin, which is slightly curved at the back, but only slightly. So it's about 2.5 inches, I suppose, from front to back. But I did make a pinhole that's fairly round. and maybe it's the forgiving nature of paper, but I was amazed at how good the paper negative came out, really.
Yeah, me too. The quality, I have to say, I do use mostly the laser drilled pinholes.
Yeah.
From James.
Yeah, I'm staring at a couple of those now. I'm sitting looking at one, which is a 0.3, sitting on my desk. I need to use it for something.
Yeah, the 0.3 I have in my coffee tins. They are about 70 millimeter distance, focus distance. So yeah. 0.3 is perfect. It gives an f/233, I think, the same as the Reality Sosipto 6x17.
James makes the pinholes now that are mounted on the flexible base, doesn't he? So you can put them in cans.
Yeah, I also have some older pinholes from not flexible.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at is not flexible. Do you know, I'm holding up this 0.3 pinhole next to my precision hand drilled pinhole, and I reckon, just comparing them visually, which isn't terribly scientific, I think my one is ever so slightly bigger, but not much, really. Okay. So it's between 0.3 and 0.4. I reckon it gave me an f-stop of something like 200 or 220 or something. And that's what I used when I calculated, and I used a speed of 3, and the negatives came out really well.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. The quality is pretty good. Yeah.
So what?
I mostly like the anamorph from the round tins.
Yeah.
It's just like anamorph. I was on a bridge. I don't know the name from. I don't know.
What would we do without Google, eh?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe railing, is that the same on the bridge?
Right, railing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And if you see the photo, I don't know where he is, on Instagram maybe. It's a straight railing, but in the photo, it looks kind of crazy.
It was only really since I've been doing this show that I discovered that you could get a round tin and put a pinhole in the lid and then kind of aim it slightly at the subject but not really at the subject. And I think when we had Michael Weitzman on the show, because Michael would have been in that OFO, I think, was he in the OFO?
I've seen a lot of people there, but
maybe not Michael.
I think only 10 I spoke with, and I thought I knew them from Facebook.
Right. Have you seen Michael's shots with his anamorphic railway lines? He did. You were talking about railings on a bridge, but he did a railway line which just kind of bends in a crazy way.
Okay,
You should check those out.
Yeah.
So you'd posted before we go on to your anamorphic, hop onto that subject. You'd shared in the Facebook group, in the Lensless Podcast Facebook group, that you were suffering with black spots. Have you been to the doctor and got that sorted out?
Well, yes, I had. I think it's so because they were black. I assume they were before the light went on the paper. Mm. My first tints, I painted black on the inside.
Yep,
and I think that was the problem. I don't know what's the upside of that tin.
You think it was just bits of debris and does.
Yeah, when you put up the top of the tin and maybe turn it a little bit, and then the paint, just go the paint a little bit into the tin and on the paper, I think.
Yeah.
Later on, I made new tins with no paint inside, and almost no problems.
So was the people paint the inside, don't they, black because it minimizes reflections, unwanted reflection?
Yes, so right. Yeah.
With your unpainted tin, was it shiny on the inside then, or matte?
No, that's just fine. All the tin photos on Instagram,
yeah,
are without the black paint, so
okay,
they're looking fine.
Oh right, well there you go, folks. You heard it here first. Rene says you don't need to paint the inside of your tin black. So you've posted a photograph then of your various cameras.
All my cameras, all on.
That was in the Facebook group, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there we go. Let me just find that. See, folks listening to this podcast, you need to, if you don't do Facebook, you need to, just to be part of the Awesome Lenses podcast Facebook group. There we go. Rennie, if you look on Rennie's post from February the 5th, just a few days ago, because he knew he was coming on this show, you can see his collection of... have you got a cat? I hope you've got a cat and you didn't eat the cat food. You gave the cat food to the cat first, did you?
No, we have two cats. So they are for my daughter, but...
Did you say hurry up and get the cat food out? So you're so I see a reality so subtle 6x12, I think, by the looks of it.
6x17.
Did you hear when James was on the show, he's redesigning his 6x17 to make it easier to transport the film through the camera?
Yes, I heard. Well, I don't think it's really a problem now, but it takes some time. But...
Yeah, mine. I have a 6x12, and that was when I first got it. It was abnormally difficult to turn. So difficult. I had to put a little hexagonal Allen key, you know, grub screw key, and use it to get leverage. And what it was, in the end, I sent it back to James, and he was very good. And one of the posts was slightly out of alignment, which he fixed for me. And then it's been a lot better since then. So, because it shouldn't be so difficult that you actually break into a sweat trying to wind the film on, which I was.
Yeah,
I thought this is dreadful. Well,
I just looked up a YouTube film, and it wasn't that difficult.
Yeah.
At home, I think in the field it's a little bit trickier.
Yeah, you have to be just, you know, not rush it and not panic, but you can do it. You know, I think it's like you are having to pull out quite a bit of the film. So just like with any kind of roll film, the old instructions about loading in subdued light. They were there for a reason, weren't they? You know, so you don't get light seeping down the end of the film.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So one time I had a problem with this film.
Yeah,
there are some rollers, and I had the photo on the wrong side. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, well, that's easily done.
Got tracks on the photos.
So on your on your photograph, your lovely. Artistic photograph of all your pinhole cameras. Your first one then was the Holger pinhole camera, which is there on the left, I think. Well, there was a couple of Holgers.
There are two. One is original, and the other one has
a conversion.
And a pinhole from James. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. And you've that awesome, highly technical camera, the Lubitel, you've desecrated it and turned it into a pinhole camera.
Yeah.
not once, but twice.
Yeah, twice. The fingers inside.
Yeah.
It's rubber. hold the Lazard Wales pinhole. It's a rubber from Grolsch beer.
Oh, is it from that goes around the cap that's comes off on the little lever thing on the Grolsch beer?
Yeah,
that has a little ceiling washer. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, there
we
go.
Yeah,
excellent. Well, it's great. I love it when you either have to drink the beer to make the pinhole camera. And the tins there, so you've got tins with pinholes on there on the sides. But are you do you make them multi-purpose and have a hole in the lid as well, so they become anamorphic pinhole cameras?
Sorry, I don't really understand.
So the tins you've got, the circular tins. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them and they've got the black tape on them. Is that where the pinhole is?
Where the pinhole is. And it's anamorphic because it's almost the paper is almost round. It's only 1 centimeter left.
I get you.
So I placed I placed the pinhole at the I don't know in English in the vertical line in the tin. Mm-hmm. So on the inside you can feel where the pinhole is.
Yep.
See,
have you done it with seam where the seam is? Yeah.
Google.
Yeah. So is the you haven't done any with the pinhole made in the lid of the tin? That's the other way of doing it, isn't it? If you put the pinhole in the the lid?
I don't know the lid, sorry.
the cap, the top.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The tube.
The top, yeah.
You can.
No, not tried yet.
Yeah, you can do that. Then you get the really, just really really distorted images. If you
okay.
And I think, and then if you take it, where the pinhole is, so you then turn your tin on its side, so the long mm-hmm. side is horizontal to the ground, but then. Don't point the pinhole directly at the subject, but just maybe 45 degrees up away from it or something like that. Yeah. So you get crazy results. And on a rainy day, you drilled a hole in a Pentacon 6 camera.
Right.
Is that, well, you drilled it in the lens body, didn't in the lens cap body.
Yeah, I just ordered in Ukraine, I think, mm-hmm. body dop. And then drill the hole and put James's pinhole.
Yeah, I'll have to get some more of those flexible pinholes, I think, to go in a few more tins, because the ones I've got from James are the old-fashioned mm-hmm. ones, so they don't bend very easily. And I've got a few Rand coffee tins lined up, which I was going to paint black on the inside, but I don't think I will now. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, I have some beer tins.
Of course.
Hanging from December 21, and I think I let them hanging for 6 months.
You've got them all. You've got them stacked up on top of each other, haven't you?
Right.
So three or four on top.
But they're also not painted black. I don't know how that is going to look like in 6 months with a lot of reflection and a lot of light. I don't know.
Oh, I think it'll be fine. I at the photography show in Birmingham last year, I picked up a couple of the commercial solar cans, you know, and they're not black inside. I'm pretty certain they're not black inside. I'm sure you'll be fine. So how long are you leaving those up for? Till the middle of the summer equinox?
It's beer cans, you mean?
In June.
For 6 months, I think.
Sorry, the beer cans.
Like maybe months, after 3 months, I try one.
Have you used? Have you done much solography?
Never before.
Me neither. I hadn't done it, and I put mine on the drain pipe facing on the top of our house, facing more or less south. So I did get that classic sunrise sunset, and I was quite pleased. I find you have to play around with it quite a bit in post-production, so you end up with a fairly, when you take the paper out of the camera, it's a fairly uninteresting kind of image, you know, which you have to invert, and then some colours suddenly start popping out and you can tweak them a bit. But yeah, it's really, there's just some great stillography pictures out there. So we look forward to seeing those. Share them into the group when you're when you've
it's
done
difficult
that.
To find a nice place. You cannot go out in the city and place.
Well, you can, but you stand the chance of getting arrested.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
One of your pictures just caught my eye. I love pinhole pictures, just capturing unplanned moments, bits of daily life. You shared a photograph, Rennie, on your Instagram. It's a black and white shot with just the backs of people, and there are lots of balloons around.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And you shot it with your Reality So Subtle 6x6 with good old Fuji Acros.
It was very good sunny weather, only 1 second exposure. Yeah,
well, you're using Fuji Acros. It's probably 1 second is about right, I guess. And are you going to be buying the new Fuji Acros? Are you that much in love with it that you're going to buy, or have you moved on from that and started using some other black and white stocks?
Well, I will buy Acros too, but I think I cannot buy it here yet. I've seen on Facebook, I've seen some new new film, also 120, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Never found it online yet.
In the UK, you can get it. I bought two rolls from the London Photographers Gallery in London. There's a exhibition space and they have a bookshop. Mm-hmm. And they're selling it, or they were, for £10 per roll. Pardon me. And I think shipping was only a few pounds. You can also get it from Analog Wonderland in the UK, a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, I think it's available now because I'm just googling retro camera in Belgium.
Okay.
I think they have it.
You probably also get it from Berlin, wouldn't you? Get it. Photo Impex seems to be an importer and distributor of lots of stuff.
Okay. It's 14 euro.
Yeah. Well, you know, people can. I know there's a lot of Facebook chatter, a lot of internet chatter about the price of this film. But to be honest, I kind of ignore it because I come from a background of shooting Polaroid, and you know, some of the money I've paid on expired Polaroid is far exceeded 14 euros for a roll. So, you know, I think it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a couple of rolls of it in the fridge. I've not shot it yet. I shot the old stuff, but this is pretty similar, if not the same, I think. Made in the UK, by all accounts. So, I noticed that.
Okay.
I don't know if are you familiar with the work of Ian Barnaby Nutt? Ian does, he used to do a bit of pinhole, but he does a lot of beautiful nighttime shots now.
No.
And he started using Fuji again. Now it's available, and of course it's perfect for night shots if the time is under 10 seconds or something, because there's very, you know, he's not applying any exposure changes at all.
I know that's what.
So I think I'm gonna get it for nighttime photography with a lens camera and general pinhole photography.
No, I definitely gonna buy it also because I think it's. Good, they make it, still make it, or make it again. Yeah,
we need to. Whatever you think of Fuji, if they're bringing a film back, we need to support it.
I remember I started with Acros because I had an Android phone and with a Lightmeter app. But reciprocity, is that in English?
Yeah, reciprocity.
Okay. So yeah, Accos was very easy to use with that app, but of now course. I have the Apple Kindle Assist. There's no reason for Accos anymore, but that's it's a good film.
Unless you like the look of it,
it's a fine film. Yeah.
For years, when my only pinhole camera was the, people are sick of me hearing me talk about this. My only pinhole camera was my Zero Image 2000, which I bought about nearly 20 years ago. And I just would put whatever film I had in, and we didn't have the Pinhole Assist app. I just followed the very, very generic guidance that came with the camera, which said something like, well, whatever film you've got in there, if the exposure is indicating more than, you know, a second, then give it two. If it's like 10 seconds, give it 20 or something. And no matter what film, whether it was HP5, FP4, or what else would I put in there? Probably just those two, to be honest. I just used to use some general adjustments, and the pictures were great, you know? So I think you can worry about it too much, really.
Yeah, because the long exposure, Yeah, the problem is not so with normal photography. It's more important, with short photos. Yeah.
It is, but with longer exposures, it becomes less critical. Yeah. I think certainly you don't have to worry about timing it down to the, the absolute second.
Yeah. I think it is, but still, bought an iPhone just to can use the app.
Yeah.
So I have.
But then again, as well, if you're out and about with. A single camera and you tend to use the same one all the time and you stick to similar materials, again, it's a great way to learn pinhole photography, because you'll learn to understand how the film responds. It's when you're chopping and changing cameras and films that it becomes more complicated, unless you're taking notes.
Yeah, right. Thinking back, I wish I just only one pinhole camera, maybe also only one film.
Yeah, where's the fun in that, though?
But yeah, I have them now, so... Yeah.
If you had to give away all your pinhole cameras and keep one camera and you're only allowed to use one film, what would it be?
The camera is easy. That's the Reality Sozipol 6x6. And film... I don't know, Akos or Povia.
Yeah, well, you've got to have one.
Yeah, Povia.
So if you had to stick Povia, you'd go down the color route, would you?
I also have the possibility after scanning make it black and white. But
that's true. Yeah.
Never done it, but it's possible, of course. And when you buy black and white, you have black and white.
Yeah. Well, I for years I didn't shoot much color film, and I started using Portra 160 in my lens cameras quite a lot, because I just like the color palette, and I particularly like it for when I'm out with my Fuji 6x9 camera to take portraits of people, and I get some great results. But I took some portraits in Cornwall last year, and I took a whole roll of images, and I realized I'd left a yellow filter on front of the camera because I'd had black and white film in before. So this was Portra 160, and my scanning skills and Photoshop skills are pretty lousy. I couldn't really get that yellow tint off the off the result, so I just
converted it to black
and
white,
and it looked great. I thought, well, why do I bother even with black and white film?
I never converted before, but I think when I have to choose one film, it will be color, and if necessary.
Do you have the? I've moved away from your post now with your cameras. Is it the Reality 6x6? Is it the one with the two pinholes, or the one with the filter ring? Yeah.
Maybe I buy an F for the summer.
Well, I have the 6x6 F, and I'm now thinking Maybe I want to buy the one with two pinholes as well. Because I was, for a long time, I was thinking, well, I'm just, I don't tend to use tripods much. I'm just putting this camera down anywhere. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you know, nothing's level anyway, so I'm not really worried about where, you know, which, where the pinhole's in the middle or at the top or at the bottom. But actually, I've been looking at some photographs where people are using the top and the bottom pinholes, and of course you can get quite a different look, can't you, in terms of the image. And if you're using the camera with two pinholes,
yeah,
you can change the look quite a lot.
I don't think much about which pinhole, only when I for a building. Sometimes
yes,
it's when you use the upper pinhole. Building,
yeah.
You won't get the whole building on the photo.
More sky. Yeah, yeah. Use the top yeah, pinhole. Yeah. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about stereo photography. My experience of stereo photography goes back to a camera club I used to belong to many, many years ago, and there was a guy who used to come to that who was a member of the Stereoscopic Society London.
With Brian May.
he didn't have a wax moustache and ride a penny farthing bicycle, but he might well have done when no one was looking. So yeah, so tell me all about stereo photography. Enlighten me.
Yeah, stereo. I think stereo photography is just fantastic, but mostly I do almost only. I do digital with lens.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I have a large 3D TV with my glasses from the, I don't know, the film, the bioscope. Was it on there?
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Just when, if you have a little kids in front of the TV, they want to reach out to grab the things in the photo. It's really amazing, really fantastic. But for pinhole, I tried a couple of times. I think you have seen one I sent in for the Holger week, I think.
Yep, for your Holger week,
I'm not sure, but I think the problem is the contrast in the film. The pinhole is a little bit difficult to get a good depth in the photo. With lens cameras, it's just you get more and easier depth in the image.
I think Todd Schlemmer, mm-hmm. I'm sure, he's using making stereo pictures with pinhole cameras. I'm sure he is. It's not, yep. Yeah. So maybe you should get in touch with Todd and see what his tricks mm-hmm. are.
Well, you can get some good results, but digital and with lens is just much better. And it's the choice you make. You go for the pinhole mm-hmm. feeling, pinhole atmosphere, or for the 3D quality.
Yeah. Which lens cameras are you using for 3D photography?
I have two Fuji W3. It's a stereo camera. And lately I use the W3 is just a stereo camera. I have two, but you can use only once, of course. Nikon Coupix A, you know them?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I have two Coupix A with on a tripod. And then mm-hmm. The only problem with two different cameras is that the distance between the center of the one lens to the other is larger. For example, with the two Nikons, it's 15 centimeters.
Right.
And then I have to stay 15 times 30 centimeters, 4.5 meters from the first subject. And when you have a stereo camera, the lenses are close to each other, and you can get closer to the first subject.
Yeah. I've just seen. I wasn't familiar with that. I've just Googled it and found one on eBay for £293. A Fuji Finepix Real 3D W3
digital. Yeah, it's old camera. It's 10, 2x10 megapixels. Very small. Small sensor.
Oh yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. Well, I had visions of you using a one of those Victorian viewers. Yeah, you know, the handheld. Because I've tried free viewing, when you have to kind of, you can hold the image in front of you on an iPad or something. I did this with when Todd Schlemmer was sharing a lot in the Facebook group a year or so ago.
That's one of the the biggest problems of stereo photography. Yeah? But how do you show it to other people?
Yeah. Well, you can't. If you, I think if you stare, if you kind of stare past the photograph and just kind of focus in the middle somewhere, but try and relax your eyes so you almost see through it. Then
cross view. Yeah.
Well, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but occasionally I can see it kind of go into a 3D. Mm-hmm. But then I think, well, am I seeing it go into 3D, or am I just kind of hoping it is? You know, I don't know.
Well, it works perfect, but you have it's easy. When you're about 70 centimeters from your screen, then you have to cross your eyes, cross you. And the point that the eyes comes together is about 20 centimeters from your nose. At that point, then you have a really good 3D.
So you cross your eyes, and then you can get your... You can move your image just slightly backwards and forwards. Like a Victorian viewer, you would slide it backwards and forwards until it jumps into 3D focus.
Yeah, the viewers makes that your left eye only see the left picture and the right eye only see the right. See the right. Your brains make it 3D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
But when you look cross-eyed, it's easier when the left and the right picture are changed. It goes more easy. That is called a cross view on Facebook, when you see pictures. And normally left and right is a parallel view, but you can look with the viewer, but you also can look cross-eyed, which is a little bit more difficult than when they...
Yeah, that's what I've tried to do, the cross-eyed thing. With limited
success. And then you have to do the red cyan anaglyph.
Yep.
But then you need the red cyan glasses.
Yeah. So you'd, for Holger Week, you'd posted, or certainly during Holger Week, you shared something into the Facebook group. I don't know if this is your work it is your work. Yeah, that's there's like a boardwalk going over some. A field kind of wetland.
Right. It was in a cleaver, I think.
And that's what that is it? Yeah. So is that designed for going cross-eyed and viewing?
I'm not sure what image you have now, but I think it was the red cyan or not, in a cleaver.
It's in a sort of green frame with the tops are slightly rounded, and it says on the side 02/10/2009 Mast Boss MASPIS. So I'm just staring at it now.
I can't find it so quickly, but was it one picture or two? Left and right, or together?
Yeah, left and right. And they are slight. They are. You can see when you look at each picture. I think they're just very slightly different. So, one's for the left eye and one for the right. I don't know. It's all witchcraft to me. I tell you.
But when you really see the 3D, it's really fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I tell you what I was watching last night on the television. There was a program on the BBC, René. And it was the first part of six looking at the teams of people who work in conservation in the Victoria and Albert Museum. Mm-hmm. You know, in London, we have the V&A Museum. And they were, there was a whole host of things they were working on, from dresses, but one of them was something called a peep show. P-E-E-P. Now, it was, I thought a peep show was one of the things that you look through turn handle and you saw women undressing.
Yeah,
walking along the canals in Amsterdam is a peep show. But it's not that. So the peep show is, this was a Victorian paper. So it was a bit about, 12 inches, 14 inches long, like the size of a large coffee table book. And they were sold for about a penny each, these peep shows, and they were handmade and painted by hand. And the idea is you pick the top up, and this was like the great, you're familiar with the Great Exhibition, you may not be, I don't know, in 1851 in London, they hosted the Great Exhibition, which was the Prince Albert, Victoria's husband, was very keen to promote British empire and engineering and things. So we had this Great Exhibition, and this peep show was a scene from the Great Exhibition. And what you do is you grab hold of the top of it and you lift it up. And as you lift it up, there are layer upon layer of images underneath in concertina form. And as you look through the hole in the top, you see this quasi semi 3D effect.
Okay.
Which is, it looked very, very interesting. And I thought there must be something you can do. In a modern way to emulate that with photography. And then I remember seeing something, I don't know whether it was on Facebook or Instagram or something, and somebody had created an art installation using photographs. And it was, I think it was maybe Amazon jungle or something like that. And the idea was that you got inside this installation and you had layers and layers of photographs, and they must have been illuminated so that as you went through it, you can, it's almost like you were being enveloped in the scene, you know, like a 3D experience. So I thought there's all sorts of interesting things going on there, and it kind of ties in a bit with 3D photography. But I don't know if folks listening, if you go to BBC iPlayer, you'll see the V&A conservators at work and look out for the peep show, which was really interesting. So, Rene, you've got a Neil Piper, dear friend of the show, said he really likes the look of your book. You know what's coming next, don't you? But it was a bit expensive on Blur. But you can download it for free, can't you, if you've got a Kindle or something?
A Blur asks you how much money you want to earn on a book. And also on the ebook, but
also you can give a contribution.
Both cases, I said I want nothing, but still the book is very expensive. That's just the cost for Blurb. Nothing for me. And the ebook also nothing for me, but I have to pay one time for the ebook, and then it's free. And when I ask $5, then the $5 comes to me. But I said, no, I don't have to have any money. So it's a free downloadable. But the book is very expensive, I think,
So if you go and... do you have to access it via Blurb? It's called... What's it called? I've lost it now. Go on, Rennie. Tell people about your book. Imperfect.
So that's the same.
And what's the, is it a collection of your general, 72 pages, I can see?
That's the peer preview. There are 240 pages.
Oh, are there? Wow, okay. So pinhole photos made in 2017, 18 and 19. So that's pretty much, you said you started in 2011, so this is in the sort of, in the last few years.
Yeah. I mainly... created it just for myself, or have a handy collection of my work, and maybe I don't know, when I die, maybe my daughter will keep it and sometimes look in it.
there's a lot of folk producing not really hardback books, but what they call zines, aren't there now, and there's lots of different cheaper ways of getting stuff out there. So, but it is a good way of getting the images off your computer, isn't it? If you don't have a darkroom or you're not making prints, then make a book.
Yeah, but for this kind of money, I think it's well, for me it's worth it. But I can understand for other people, if it's not a great famous photographer, you don't give so much money for.
Well, there's a thing, isn't it? Somebody on Facebook said recently, I want to start selling my work. So, what should I charge? You know, or something like that. And I said, for what it's worth, well, unless you're famous or dead, you probably can't charge a lot for a photograph, you know, because the fact is, unless you've really achieved some fame elsewhere, or you've died and your work's been discovered, like Vivian Mayer, you know, you might be the most talented photographer ever, but you know, people in the street look at it and say, well, it's a photograph, you know.
Yeah, and there are so many photographs in the world.
I mean, I don't have much experience of selling work, but
I never have to ask money for a picture yet.
Well, I sold one, that my little exhibition in the Oxfam window, in the charity shop window. I did sell one. I got an email from somebody who'd seen the pictures and he'd gone into the shop and said, can I buy one of those photographs? And the manager of the store said, well, it's nothing to do with us, but I'll give you Andrew's email address. And each of those pictures, I think, cost me about £10 to produce and frame. I put them in frames, very cheap frames that I found online, the cheapest frames I could find. And so I sold them for £20. And I don't know whether that was too cheap, whether that was too expensive, but I think it was about right, really, because people aren't going to spend a lot on a photograph, you know, however nicely presented it is, unless you're famous or dead. Whereas £20 was, you know, I didn't think it was too unreasonable. And the guy who bought it seemed to think it was okay. So
I don't know. I never had. Only one time somebody asked me to sell one photo on an exhibition. And then, I gave it away.
Well, it's always hard, isn't it, to know what to, you know, and you know, I think if someone expresses interest in your work and they are prepared to pay, then you know, you want to cover your cost, I think, really. That's the very least, cover your cost. And if you can make a little bit of money to pay for film and paper, well, so be it.
Yeah, it's the same with the books. I can ask €5 or €10 or more for imperfect, and then I hope I can earn the money back that I spent. But yeah, I think it's my book, and I have it, I bought it, and yeah, it's okay.
Well, you're ahead of me. I've never put a book together, but or a zine, but I will be this year. That's my challenge to myself for this year, to put some of my images together into a little zine. Yeah. I think a lot of people are doing it.
So. This is very easy. Yeah? This is with Lightroom. There is a part in Lightroom is making books, and you can from Lightroom straight to Blurb.
Straight there. Yeah.
So it's very easy. I have also a lensless. The lensless scene, 2019. The small
one. Yeah, we'll be doing another one of those. I think I'll probably.
Yeah, from you also, a couple of pictures. Yeah, the church and the boat.
The church. Well, the church was in a cemetery in Atlanta, in Georgia, and that was shot with Fuji Acros and a red filter. And a reality so subtle camera on a tiny little tripod. Okay. Yeah. That was, I think I exposed, that was some of the first rolls of Acros I used, and then they discontinued it, so I didn't buy any more. Because people started asking quite high prices for it. But now it's come back, it's a similar sort of price to what people are asking for it anyway. Anyway, Rene, we'll draw to a close now. It's been lovely chatting with you. That wasn't so bad, was it? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah. Yes.
You were concerned about your English, but René, it was great. You know, it's far better than my Dutch.
Well, if you do it again, maybe we can try it in Dutch.
René, where's the best place for people to view your work and find out more about you?
Well, I think the best way is just Instagram. I don't have mm-hmm. Flickr anymore.
You should do.
I first had mostly digital photos on Flickr. And then you delete the account, and then they ask, well, are you sure you want to delete your 30,612 photos?
Yeah.
And I wasn't, but I clicked yes. It's gone. So Instagram is for my pinhole photos. Not so very much now, I think. Almost 300 pictures. Yeah, 296. Yeah,
and it sounds very disparaging when I say a little website, but I think you described it as a little website, didn't you?
Little website, Genster.nl. .nl.
So that's www.genster. How do you pronounce that?
Genster.
Yeah,
it's Genster. Old Flemish word for vonk, my nickname. My last name.
Oh, is it?
And vonk in English is sparkle. You know, from the fire, from the firewood, something. You know.
Okay. Fantastic. Anyway, so you can see more of René's work there, and other social media.
I don't think so. Yeah, LinkedIn, nothing, almost nothing, and Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah, well, you post a lot into our Lensless podcast Facebook group, so yeah. Thank you for been really lovely catching up with you.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
So, folks, we'll be back probably in 2 weeks. That's what we're aiming to do. If Corey survives his trip to the mountains, doesn't get eaten by lions or man-eating people with banjos or whatever you have in the United States. So we'll see you again, folks. Bye. Say goodbye, René.
Bye. Cheers.